Case number 203680, Robert Taglione versus Charter Communications, LLC. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Reeve, you may proceed for the appellant.
It pleases the court, Gary Reeve on behalf of Robert Taglione, appellant in the case. I reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
There appear to be two issues to deal with in this case. The first is whether the statute covers Mr. Taglione at all, meaning is constructive demotion the same as discharge for purposes of the statute. First off, to point out, the revised code 4112.08 says that anything in chapter 4112 shall be construed liberally for the accomplishment of its purposes, which is anti-discrimination. There is no argument, and no argument was made in this brief when there were two plaintiffs, that constructive discharge equals discharge for purposes of the statute. And the lower court construed it as such. So the question is demotion discharge? Demotion, according to the courts in the past, not for this statute, but for other similar statutes that talk about discharge. This is Justice Williams.
Are you referring to demotion as such, or what's referred to in the briefs as constructive demotion?
Well, if my argument would be that if constructive discharge equals discharge, constructive demotion equals demotion. Therefore, the only question we have in front of us is whether demotion, and I'll get to the public policy arguments about constructive demotion as well, but our first argument we have in front of us is, does demotion equal discharge? The courts and Justice William Douglas talked about, essentially, demotion is a two-step process. The first process is you lose the job you have. And the second part of the process is you get another job. But first, you have to lose the job you have.
Doesn't 4112.02 allow employees to sue over demotions? So why didn't you just pick that one if that's what you wanted to sue over?
The only section of the statute that we could use, given the timing in which the complaint was filed, was 4112.14.
But so in other words, Ohio has made some legislative choices, as Mousy points out, and those legislative choices have consequences. If you want to seek to sue over demotion, the proper vehicle, Ohio provides it in the same section of the code. And if you want to sue over discharge, then 4112.14 provides it.
Well, you could sue, to be honest, over discharge in either of the sections. But the question really is, when 4112.14 says discharge, does it specifically limit itself down to discharge alone? First off, the courts have said constructive discharge equals discharge. Hence, we have that exception to the simple word discharge. And secondly, is demotion a discharge? And that's the question that has to be answered for purposes of the statute.
Do you have any cases that say demotion is a discharge under 4112.14? Because I didn't see it in your brief.
I have no cases either way. Okay. Meaning there's no case that says it is, there's no case that says it isn't. So
how do you deal with the Mousy case, though, which says that transfers or promotions are not prohibited under 0.14?
Transfers or promotions are not prohibited?
Right. In other words, it 0.14 doesn't cover, though, like a transfer. A transfer is not a discharge.
Well, that would be a sideways transfer, but I'm not sure that Mousy actually deals with a transfer that is a demotion. In other words, going from a management position down to a salesman, an outside salesman, as Mr. Taglione did.
I guess the operative question is, why isn't your cause of action here precluded by Mousy?
Well, I don't believe it is. I believe that Mousy doesn't directly address and doesn't directly eliminate this cause of action. The awful thing is, we're sitting here, and had Mr. Taglione taken a sales position with another company, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And the law requires Mr. Taglione, much as anyone else, to mitigate his damages, and he chose to mitigate it by taking a lower position at Charter to maintain his health insurance for his family.
But as Mousy says, that's a legislative choice Ohio made. I mean, it may be, I mean, your logic may pass muster, but there's a provision for that for that Ohio provided, which is O2. And otherwise, as Mousy said, this is a legislative choice and one courts aren't free to disturb.
Well, the question is, given 4112.08, is the legislative choice deliberately to limit the scope of 4112.14 just to discharge? And then if it is to limit it just to discharge, what is the definition of a discharge? Which is what we're talking about. Is a demotion a discharge for purposes of the law? And we believe that the demotion being a two-step process, that it is a discharge. He did lose his job as an inbound sales manager.
He didn't lose his job with Charter. I mean, he wasn't fired and had to
get. Yes, but he lost his job as an inbound sales manager at Charter.
Mm-hmm. Assume you're right as to the statute. What's your best evidence that his working conditions were objectively intolerable?
A relentless series of bad actions that began pretty much in September of 2017 towards Mr. Taglione and his two cohorts, Mr. Lucas and Ms. Baker. And the best example I can give pattern-wise is in December of 2017, Laura Ray is hired as the youngest of the five managers at 47 years old. By the first week of June, out of the five managers, she's the oldest. And from a period that runs from the first week of May to the first week of June, Ms. Baker, Mr. Taglione, Mr. Lucas are essentially told they're going to be put on performance improvement plans. Ms. Baker actually was put on one.
Taglione never was, and people have worked their way off of PIPs, right?
There is no example prior to Mr. Taglione of an inbound sales manager working their way off a performance improvement plan.
But people have, correct?
I don't know if people in other positions, I suppose, have.
Okay, and he was never put on a PIP, right?
He was told he was going to be put on a PIP. He was.
But Ohio law can't assume the worst, and he never.
Well,
was.
The question is, when you say can't assume the worst, I'm going to put it to you in a way that I hope is understandable, though I don't know that any of us have experienced it. Which is, if you go into work every day and people smile at you and tell you what a great job you're doing, and an hour later, they punch you in the face. And it happens basically every day. You're good, you're bad. You're up, you're down. The nature of the way Mr. Taglione was being treated, and when he was put on the development plan and told he was going to be put on a PIP, he was actually outperforming any other manager at the center by the metrics that they were measured, that their job performance was measured by.
Can I ask you one other question? Because on page 17 of your brief, you say he was replaced by Ben Jones, right?
Yes.
Don't you have to be replaced by someone under 40?
No. Ohio follows federal law. Federal law is, according to Justice Scalia, says significantly younger. Significantly younger has been construed to be anywhere from 7 to 10 years younger. Mr. Jones was more than 10 years younger.
I thought Milesy requires you not, and I'm quoting, being replaced by someone not belonging to the protected class.
Milesy was decided prior to the decisions, the decision of Justice Scalia.
So,
and Ohio follows federal law.
But it's for Ohio to revisit their law, right? Isn't Milesy the Supreme Court? Am I wrong about that?
Yes, except the Supreme Court also says that Ohio follows federal law when it comes to discrimination statutes.
So you're saying rather than the specific language of the Ohio Supreme Court, we should follow the general language to use federal law?
Yes, and Ohio has followed it since that time, since the time that that decision was issued.
It would seem that the argument should be Ohio follows federal law except when it chooses not to. In other words, it can take exception to some provisions if it so decides to do so, which would appear to be what occurred here.
Well, it's not specifically taken exception to the decision by Justice Scalia because it predated it. So it's not, in other words, you can't disagree with a decision that hasn't been issued yet.
Have any cases applied Milesy subsequent to the United States Supreme Court?
You mean the part of Milesy that you're talking about?
Yes.
I don't believe so.
All right.
I don't believe so. I believe that, since I only have a few seconds, I direct the court to the reply brief about the gaslighting of Mr. Taglione, about the you're doing well, you're doing badly. This was relentless, it was constant, and it was intended to achieve what it did.
All right, guess we'll hear from Mr. Osmer. Is that the way you pronounce your name?
Yes, Your Honor, it is. May it please the court, Joseph Osmer for defendant and appellee Charter Communications. Your Honors, before I get into what is really the primary and threshold dispositive issue here, which is that the plain language of the statute at issue, 4112.14, applies only to discharges and job openings and does not have a cause of action for demotion. Before I get to that issue, I'd like to take just a minute to put the case in a little bit of context. This case arose out of what was the worst performing call center in Charter's entire company, in the entire organization at the time. Because of that, a new vice president was brought in to improve the performance. That new vice president was the 61-year-old Ron Johnson, older than Mr. Taglione or his co-plaintiff, Andy Lucas. Mr. Johnson, and to improve performance, he brought with him an entirely new style. He brought necessary change. He brought accountability. He brought a sense of urgency to a level that the current managers, such as Mr. Taglione, were not accustomed to and did not appreciate. Admittedly, Mr. Johnson also brought with him a harsh management style. There is evidence that he could be abrupt, that he could sometimes cut people off, and that he lacked patience. But the record does not suggest that the 61-year-old Johnson was trying to create objectively intolerable conditions or hellish conditions or close to it, as the court stated in Chapanka, its most recent pronouncement on the constructive discharge standard. Record does not suggest that Mr. Johnson was trying to create such conditions at all, let alone because of Mr. Taglione's or anyone else's age, nor does the record suggest that any such objectively intolerable conditions existed. In fact, as plaintiffs conceded in their reply brief, Mr. Taglione received good performance reviews from Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson would praise him when Mr. Taglione performed well. And he also admits that Mr. Johnson gave him and recommended him for a 3% merit increase, which at $100,000 a year was not an insignificant merit increase. All things that are completely antithetical to either any subjective intent on Mr. Johnson's part to get Mr. Taglione to quit because of his age, or objectively intolerable conditions. The district court certainly saw it that way, as it characterized Mr. Taglione's departure as both hasty and unreasonable. Additionally, Mr. Taglione admitted that the reason that he chose to transfer was not because of this allegedly horrible treatment from Mr. Johnson. Rather, he admitted that he transferred because of the independent decision of his new boss, the 57-year-old Rhonda Hatfield, someone he had been friends with, former managers together, someone he admits harbored no discriminatory animus, and someone who he didn't accuse of any abusive conduct. He admits his transfer was triggered when Rhonda Hatfield decided to put him on a leadership development plan and allegedly threaten a PIP he never saw and doesn't know what it would have required because it was never written, if it was even threatened. But in any event, he said that his transfer, the issue in this case, the alleged adverse action in this case, his transfer was occasioned by Ms. Hatfield's decision. And that decision occurred 3 months after he was no longer reporting to Johnson and no longer subject to the alleged harsh conditions of which he complains. Now, even if Section 4112.14 permitted a cause of action for constructive demotion, which it doesn't, Mr. Taglione's hasty and unreasonable departure would not be grounds to even raise a question of fact as to a constructive demotion based on age. His claim would fail on the merits for the exact same reasons that his co-plaintiff's Andy Lucas claim failed on the merits, as they were traveling under identical facts, albeit Lucas claimed constructive discharge due to his voluntary retirement, and Taglione claimed the constructive demotion due to his voluntary transfer. But more importantly, Mr. Taglione's claim fails here for the threshold issue that a couple of your honors seized on, and that is that it is settled Ohio law that Section 4112.14 is a very narrow statute that applies only to discharge or job openings. While Mr. Taglione tries to compare it to federal law and rely on Supreme Court case law interpreting other statutes, that's totally unavailing here because federal law has no analog to 4112.14. 4112.02, the statute that the Ohio Supreme Court has characterized as substantially broader, that prohibits other types of discrimination and other types of prohibited conduct, there's a federal analog to that under Title VII or the ADEA, but there's no federal analog to the narrow 4112.14 in Ohio's unique dual statutory scheme targeted towards allegations of age discrimination. This is made clear by the Ohio Supreme Court and Mousey. And your honors were correct to ask plaintiff's counsel how he gets around Mousey. The answer is he can't. Mousey is the end of the argument as for whether there's a cause of action here. Mousey expressly held that by its plain language, 4112.14 only applies to job openings or discharges. Mousey specifically stated that it does not apply to transfers. And that's exactly what happened here. Mr. Taglione transferred. He can characterize it as a demotion if he wants to, but that doesn't make him any different from Ms. Mousey. Ms. Mousy was in a far worse position than Mr. Taglione. Ms. Mousy was given an ultimatum. You either accept this transfer, which she believed was a discriminatory demotion, or you'll be terminated. Ms. Mousy chose not to accept the transfer and chose to accept the consequence of termination. Ms. Mousy argued that that ultimatum in and of itself and being forced to either accept a discriminatory transfer or be terminated satisfied the discharge requirement of 4112.14. The Ohio Supreme Court in Mousy unequivocally rejected that position. The Ohio Supreme Court said that the Ms. Mousy's choice to take the termination in lieu of transfer did not satisfy the statutory requirement for a discharge for separation of employment involuntarily. Rather, she would have to prove all the elements of a constructive discharge in order to have a cause of action. But the transfer, the discriminatory transfer ultimatum would not get her there. Here, Taglione never even got an ultimatum like that. More importantly, there was no loss of employment. And Mousy makes absolutely and unequivocally clear that a discharge and the loss of employment, a separation from employment, is an absolute statutory requirement under 4112.14. Not only did the Supreme Court repeatedly state that discharge was required and repeatedly explained that none of Ms. Mousy's arguments could get around the requirement for a discharge, the entire analysis in Mousy would have been unnecessary if a discriminatory transfer were enough, a discriminatory demotion. The whole analysis about having to have a discharge and that she has to prove constructive discharge would be all for naught and completely unnecessary if Mr. Taglione's position were to be accepted. So there is simply no way to reconcile Mousy with the with Mr. Taglione's position. And as one of your honors pointed out, Mousy expressly stated that this narrow structuring of 4112.14, limiting it to discharges, separations of employment, was a legislative court choice that courts cannot disturb. And therefore, no court has ever tried to disturb it. No court has done anything to suggest that Mousy is wrong and that a discharge from employment is not required. Yet, having the judiciary disturb that legislative choice is exactly what Mr. Taglione is asking this court to do, and it's what he asked the district court to do. He's asking this court to take the statute, 4112.14, to a place where the legislature expressly chose not to go, to a place where no court has gone, as Mr. Taglione concedes, and to a place where the highest court of the state of Ohio, which the Sixth Circuit is bound to follow the pronouncements of when it comes to Ohio law, which we're talking about here, he's asking this court to take the statute to a place where the highest court of the state expressly said it cannot go. I would respectfully submit that the court should reject that invitation, not only because it flies in the face of the plain language of the statute, not only because it would defy Mousy, which is binding, but also because under well-settled federal judicial principles, federal courts, as this court has said numerous times, have to be extremely cautious when considering adopting substantive innovation of state law. And that's exactly what Mr. Taglione is asking for here. This court has repeatedly stated that when given a choice between an interpretation of state law which reasonably restricts liability and one which expands it, the court should always choose the choice, the more narrow and reasonable path, which is exactly what Judge Morrison did here. It is also contrary to plaintiff's statement that no court has decided this issue. Well, Mousy decided it when Mousy said transfers are not actionable under the statute. But also, as we've cited in our papers, even prior to Mousy, the Southern District of Ohio had decided this very issue in the case of Hawley versus Dresser Industries, which is at 737 F sup 445, where analyzing the plain statutory language, the court held that 4112.14 cannot apply to a discriminatory demotion. While Mr. Taglione references 4112.08's general statement that all of section 4112 should be construed liberally, that does not assist him here. The Ohio Supreme Court in the Meyer versus United Parcel Services case, which is at 909 Northeast 2nd 106, a 2009 case, at page 112 of that opinion, the Ohio Supreme Court expressly stated, again, when construing Ohio's dual statutory scheme for age discrimination, the Ohio Supreme Court stated that 4112.08's general statement for liberal construction does not trump plain statutory language and does not give the courts any license to ignore the plain statutory scheme. So the Ohio Supreme Court has also rejected that argument of Mr. Taglione's. Finally, I would like to point out that, again, with all of the case law Mr. Taglione cites and his arguments to this court simply ignore not only Ohio law and Mousy, but they also ignore the Ohio statutory scheme. As the Supreme Court has stated, Ohio's statutory scheme for age discrimination is unusual. It is a dual scheme that provides separate and distinct causes of action and remedies for age discrimination, as the court discussed earlier. It has expressly noted, for instance, in the Morris versus Kaiser Engineers case, that 4112.14, which we're dealing with here, is very narrow, dealing only with discharge or discrimination in job openings. And it has expressly said that 4112.02 is much broader. And as the court pointed out, 4112.02 provides the remedy that Mr. Taglione seeks. The fact that he sued under the wrong statute is not grounds for changing Ohio law in the face of Ohio Supreme Court authority to the contrary. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. We'll hear rebuttal at this time.
A couple of things. To say that the age discrimination statutes of Ohio are unusual is probably an understatement. That the governor is about to correct when he signs the new law into effect, and in 90 days, all of this will be moot. But in any event, the 411208 does apply in the sense of liberally accomplishing the purposes of Chapter 4112. Justice Douglas did address a statute that only said that there was a cause of action for discharge, a federal statute that said only discharge was actionable. And finally, again, the bizarre penalty that Mr. Taglione is made to absorb here is that had he left Charter and taken a job with up the street with, you know, Joe Blow Industries, he would have a cause of action under 411214. Because he chooses to stay and keep his insurance, his health insurance for his family, he's penalized and he can't have a cause of action for constructive discharge. That is a bizarre and illogical outcome in this particular situation. It's just, if it sounds like it's not right, it's because it's not right. And demotion is discharge. It is the loss of a position, because that has to happen first before you get around to getting another position. Finally, the Mr. Osmer's citation that Ms. Hatfield was the one responsible for what happened to Mr. Taglione at the end. Ms. Hatfield was nothing but a continuation of Mr. Johnson. Ms. Hatfield was promoted by Mr. Johnson immediately prior to being promoted by Mr. Johnson, less than a month before. She lodged complaints herself about age-related issues with Mr. Johnson. She knew what he wanted. And when she got promoted, she carried out what he wanted, which is getting rid of the older people, getting the new blood, the fresh ideas, the getting rid of old Columbus, as he called it. This was nothing but a continuation of the past. Saying that Ms. Hatfield is somehow divorced from Mr. Johnson is ridiculous. And just because somebody is the same age or a little older doesn't mean they don't discriminate in their subordinates based upon age. That's a specious argument. It has nothing to do with anything. If Mr. Johnson wants younger people to manage millennials, as he told Mr. Lucas on his way out, that's age discrimination, and it doesn't matter what his age is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, that concludes the argument, and the case shall be submitted.